Good morning again. How did we do with our prayer of thanksgiving yesterday? Was it difficult? Too difficult? Were we able to write to find things to thank God for? Yeah, okay. Good. Yeah. Today we're going to talk about season of forgiveness. But before I do that, I just want to draw your attention on a book which some of you may have already or may know about already. It's called Miracle Hour, a method of prayer that will change your life. It's written by Linda Schubert. Linda's a very powerful, holy woman. For many years, this guided or helped me in my own way of praying, and I still use it. Again, as I said yesterday, you don't have to say the same things that are in a book, but I might take it to start and then just begin to use my words for the whole of that session. Linda also has a book on forgiveness. I think True Confessions, which is basically prayers of forgiveness and all that. So if you can find the book, I will ask you to buy them. They are not expensive. They're actually like $3 a copy. So, Linda Schubert. The book is The Miracle Hour. Her name is at the back of my book here. She wrote the blog to my book. So if you see my, you can write down the name from my book as well. Today we are going to talk about seasons of forgiveness. Yesterday we started by talking about the season of prayer. So we begin our prayer by thanking God, you know, for all that he has done for us, by thanking him for bringing us safely, by thanking him for the green lights, the red lights, the parking spots, and all those kind of cool stuff. Or thanking him actually for your mean boss at work, you know. So we begin by thanking God. The next step that is very important is also forgiveness, by asking for forgiveness. Sometimes this is an area that sometimes we might forget in our prayer, that is always very important to ask God for forgiveness. So we easily switch from the season of thanksgiving to the season of forgiveness. I always encourage people that let this be like the very second thing we pray about when we begin to pray. Because yes, as I said yesterday, we come to prayer with our identity as sons and daughters of God, as specially chosen people. But sometimes because of our actions, we've strained our relationship with God. It's like a son who is very much loved by the father, but he decides to do his own thing. He decides not to listen to the father. He decides to disobey his father and all that. Before he comes to ask the father for something, he needs to at least apologize to the father, to say, "Father, forgive me," you know, before he can ask the father for what he wants. If he doesn't do that, the father might probably not answer, might probably not give him what he wants, because he's not showing repentance for his actions, because he doesn't have the father's goodwill. So in the same way with prayer, when we come to prayer, yes, we are the chosen people of God. Yes, we are truly loved as sons and daughters of God. But we know that because of certain actions, certain things we have done, we've strained our relationship with him. So we come to him, we ask him to forgive us. And I want to let you know this. It is God's interest, it is of his own interest to forgive you. He wants to forgive you. He loves you. He wants to forgive you. He is more than happy to forgive you. Because if he doesn't forgive you, then the death of Jesus Christ is in vain. That was the very purpose for which he sent Jesus Christ into the world, to reconcile us with him. So it is of his interest to forgive us. If he doesn't forgive us, the blood that was shed on the cross is in vain. If you read the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 28, it says, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed on behalf of many for the forgiveness of sins." So that the blood of Jesus was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. So that when we do not ask God for forgiveness, it means we are not taking advantage of that special blessing that we have received. When we do not ask God for forgiveness, in a sense, we are saying, you know, I don't really care about what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. So it's at the very heart of our faith as Christians. Forgiveness is at the very heart of our faith as Christians. Because again, Jesus came, shed his blood that we may be forgiven, that we may be reconciled, or that we are reconciled with the Father. So the cross was a sign. The cross was a sign of our forgiveness. The cross of Jesus Christ brought forgiveness to us, and we should never undermine that. And there's a constant invitation from God to forgive us all through the scriptures. If you read the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins as red as scarlet, I shall make them as white as snow." Again, that's the interest God has in forgiving us. "Though your sins are as red as scarlet, I shall make them as white as snow. I am ready to forgive you. Come to me." All you just need to do is come to me. You cannot say that you do not have any sin in your life or there is nothing to ask for forgiveness for. The book of Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Even before the day begins, 30 minutes after we've woken up from sleep, we've already done something that probably strains our relationship with God. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that when I begin to go into a laundry list of sins. So when you read the book of Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14, there's again this invitation from God. "If my people who are called by my name come to me with humility and they confess their sins, I will hear them from heaven. I will hear them from heaven and I am going to revive their land. I am going to bless them." So it's always necessary, it's always good for us to ask for forgiveness. And I always encourage people that these scriptures on forgiveness is always a very good idea when you are praying, that you bring in a lot of scriptures into your prayer. Again, because when you're doing a radical prayer, you're beginning to hold God, you're praying boldly, you're beginning to hold God to his promises. So that, for example, when I'm praying for forgiveness, I always will say things like, you know, "God, you've said to me in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 18, come, let us reason together. Here I am, I want to reason with you. These are my sins, Lord. I want you to fulfill that promise that you will make my sins, which are as red as scarlet, you're going to make them as white as snow." So you begin to make actually the Bible part of your prayer. So the Bible becomes, all these passages become part of your prayer. And this ranges even in other things, even when you are praying for healing. You say, "Lord, in this book of the Bible, you say, if I stretch my hands upon the sick, they will be healed. Lord, I'm stretching my hand upon this person who is sick, and I am declaring healing for this person." So you make the Bible very much part of your prayer. You begin to see this radical form of prayer. You see a little bit of it in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verse 11 to 32. It is a story of the prodigal son, or the parable of the father's love. This guy takes off, you know, and squanders all his property and everything and doesn't care less about the father. And after everything is all done, he comes to his senses and he wants to return to the father, no longer as a son, but as a servant. He decides to make that trip back to the father. And he says, when I go to my father, I am going to say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. A very radical form of prayer. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. And that's what we do in a prayer of forgiveness. We go to the Father and we say, you know, you go. The forgiveness actually doesn't begin at the time you start asking for it. Just like when we talk about the sacrament of reconciliation. The forgiveness doesn't begin at the very moment you confess. The forgiveness starts the time you make that decision that I am going to go back to my Father. And I'm going to say to my Father, I've sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. And that's what the son decides to do. And he goes back to the Father. Even before he reaches the Father is reaching out to him in love. The Father is kissing him, is embracing him, and is welcoming him back. He barely has the chance to say to the Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. That is what happens in a prayer of forgiveness. The moment we make that decision that I am going to confess to the Father, I am going to ask the Father to forgive me, the Father is already, God is already reaching out to you in love. God is already forgiving you. So that's a very radical form of prayer. Father, I have sinned against you. He's not trying to be very politically correct. He's not trying to give excuses why he did what he did. Sometimes we sit down, and even when we want to ask for forgiveness, one of the things we do is we begin to look at maybe our list of sins we want to ask for, and then gradually we begin to justify away the sins. We begin to see why, well, this is not necessarily a sin, you know. These were the circumstances and all that, and then we go into the hole trying to put everything all into context and trying to excuse and exempt ourselves from that responsibility. No, you go to him and you say, Lord, I have sinned against you. Lord, I have done this and, you know, I should have known better, you know. Lord, forgive me. I want you to forgive me. That's not a time to try to give excuses. It's a time you come to him and he said, there's no need for excuses because he is going to forgive you. Because he is going to accept you just the way that you are. Because even before you open your mouth, he is going to reach out to you in love to forgive you. So the very first part of our prayer is asking God for forgiveness. As the first book of John, chapter 1, verse 9, tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will cleanse us. All we need to do again is just to confess to him, and he will forgive us. That's the first part of our prayer of forgiveness. The second part of our prayer of forgiveness is forgiving other people. And that's where sometimes it gets really difficult to forgive other people. So why should I make that part of my prayer of forgiveness? And yesterday we read about Jesus Christ teaching the apostles how to pray, the Lord's Prayer, which we all know. And one of the key elements in the Lord's Prayer is, forgive us our trespasses, our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. As we forgive other people as well. So, forgiving other people should also be a central part of our prayer of forgiveness. Yes, we are asking God to forgive us for what we have done, and we are forgiving others for what they have done to us. That's about the least, the minimum we can do for what God is doing, for what God is doing for us. If you read the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 23, Jesus Christ tells us in that passage, if you bring your gifts to the altar and then recall that your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar. Go and reconcile with your brother before you come back to offer your gift. This is a very radical teaching from Jesus Christ. If you listen to the words carefully, he doesn't say, well, if you find out that you have done something against your brother, or you have anything against your brother. No, if your brother has anything against you, you go and reconcile. The reason is that sometimes we don't forgive people because we are waiting for them to apologize to us or to ask us for forgiveness before we can begin to forgive them. But that's not what Jesus Christ calls Christians to do. We don't sit down there and wait for the other person to come ask for forgiveness before we forgive. But we have to take the step to forgive the other person. That is what happens in the relationship that God has with us. St. Paul tells us that Christ loved us and died for us while we were still sinners, while we were his enemies. He did not wait for us to become good people. He did not wait for us to stop sinning and all that before he will love us and die for us. But he did it out of that love, because it's the right thing to do. And that's what he calls us also as Christians to do, to pray and ask for forgiveness, to forgive other people even before they forgive us, even if they are our enemies, even if he or she is a very mean boss. We need to forgive them and pray a prayer of blessing for them. There's also a passage we talked about yesterday, and I want to come back to that passage because of what the end of that passage says. And that's in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verse 20 to 26. And it's the story of Jesus Christ cursing the fig. Jesus Christ cursing the fig tree. We are told that Peter remembered when they saw the withered fig tree. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." Jesus said to them in reply, "Have faith in God. Amen, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it shall be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, all that you ask for in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and it shall be yours." That was the part we ended yesterday. And then the 25 says, "When you stand to pray, forgive anyone against whom you have a grievance, so that your heavenly Father may in turn forgive your transgressions." So again, that whole element that we make forgiveness part of our prayer, that whenever we stand to pray, we have to ask the Father, we have to ask forgiveness or to forgive whoever we have grievance against. And for most of us, when we growing up, we learn the Ten Commandments. And whenever maybe we want to go to confession or something, we sit down and we review the list of the Ten Commandments, you know, I'm the Lord thy God, I shall not have any other God before me. He said, well, I don't really have any other God. Honor your father and mother. Yeah, maybe my parents are already dead and all that, so with that to honor again. Thou shalt not say, yeah, I've not stolen anything. Thou shalt not kill, I have not killed anything. So we go through that list of the Ten Commandments and we say to ourselves, wow, I'm doing really, really good. I'm doing really, really good. Probably there's really nothing I can ask God for forgiveness in prayer. We might say, well, maybe a little one, like maybe I gossip, you know, or I told a little lie or something, you know, that's it, you know, I'm doing very well. And I hear that all the time. People say that to me, you know, Father, I am old, I don't really sin, you know. So we go through that list, but there is more that we can ask God for. We can ask for forgiveness, and sometimes we might not even know how our actions are actually sinful. And one of the things I did in the prayer of forgiveness in this book is I went through a lot of things, and most of them you can find within the Ten Commandments. So, you have things like let's see. Okay, I'm sorry for the nasty things I have said about other people. I'm sorry for saying things about people, you know, that I cannot say before them. I'm sorry for deep-seated anger against family members, friends, colleagues, and fellow human beings created in your own image and likeness. I repent of seeking the downfall of others and rejoicing in the failures of other people. And I go through a whole list of things. And sometimes there are things that we just hold in our hearts that we are not forgiving those people. Even sometimes the people might be dead. And one example is in a prayer I talk about, you know, I forgive my parents for not loving me or caring for me the way, you know, I'd expected that they should have. You know, those are the kinds of things you can begin to ask. You can ask forgiveness for. So one part of it is you are forgiving other people who have transgressed against you, or the things that you have done against other people. So in the prayer of forgiveness, not only the things you have done against other people, but the things other people have done against you, you still ask God for forgiveness. So I can say, you know, I ask for forgiveness, you know, for treating Matthew meanly and all that. Yeah, I have done something wrong from my own part. So if Matthew treats me meanly, I should still ask for forgiveness, you know. You know, I ask for forgiveness for the way Matthew treats me. And also some other things we ask for forgiveness for. We ask forgiveness for family members, people who have died, friends, people who are no longer living and all that. We still, you know, sometimes we have things, we hold on to things, you know, that have happened 50 years ago, 60 years ago. We still hold on to those things. In our prayer of forgiveness, we have to make it a point to ask, you know, to ask God for forgiveness. Most especially when that person is no longer around, to have the opportunity of reconciliation with you. But you can still reconcile with that person, even if the person is dead, by asking for forgiveness. We don't settle on the laundry list of, you know, the Ten Commandments. The other things, I know somebody said to me once, wow, I never thought about asking for forgiveness about the environment until I saw it in your prayer. I said, for example, when I pray for forgiveness, for example, let's say, you know, for not killing, you know, like if I take the commandment, killing, for example, and I said, well, you know, maybe I have not killed anybody. I have not committed an abortion. I have not, you know, that's so what is there, you know, to ask for forgiveness for? But when I think about it, I said, what about the decisions I make today that endanger the lives of future generations? Driving an SUV that consumes so much gas, how does that affect the lives of generations, you know, from now? How am I contributing in destroying the environment, wasting energy and all that? So then I begin to have that consciousness that this is a sin that I need to ask God for forgiveness. But ordinarily, we might not think about it that way. If we just look at the commandment, thou shalt not kill, and you say, well, I have not killed anybody. But when you think again, you think deeply about it, you begin to see that probably your actions are endangering the lives of other people. Or another example would be, you know, driving above the speed limit, you know, and all that, and driving crazy on the highway. You're endangering the lives of other people who are using the roads, and that is something worth asking forgiveness for. It's something I did not add in this prayer, which I think if I'm revising the book, I have to make sure I add in the prayer of forgiveness. So there are many things, if we look into our life, there are many things we can ask God for forgiveness for. What I'm going to ask you to do this morning, this prayer of forgiveness in this book actually follows the Ten Commandments, but it goes a little bit into more details. So what I'm going to ask you, we're going to write a prayer of forgiveness just this morning. Just make sure you keep it really, 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 really safe so that somebody else doesn't see what you have written. And even if you don't have a copy of this book, I will encourage you to just take a copy from the back and try to gradually follow through the prayer, and then begin to write your own things that you think you should ask God for. For forgiveness for. So you just begin to go through and begin to write the things to ask God for forgiveness for. You may be amazed how many things you need forgiveness from God. Because again, when we come to God in prayer, in radical prayer, this has to be, again, it has to be very, very radical. You don't try to pick things. You just come plain. You are just plain before Him. You know, this is who I am. These are the things I have done. Hey, God, forgive me. I know you're going to forgive me. No excuses. Forgive me. I have done these things. So that's what I'm going to ask you to do, to write that prayer of forgiveness. And it's a good idea to write it, to keep it. Most especially, these prayers I'm asking you to write, most especially when you are sick, when you are having difficulties in praying. For example, as I was sick, I was glad, you know, I'm glad I had the radical prayer for a breakthrough. At least I can lie down and gradually read through it and pray through it when I'm finding it really, really difficult to pray and I don't really have the energy to pray. I can actually gradually go through the prayer. So that's what I'm going to ask you to do this morning.